You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
That it is, friends. That it is. Carlin at 7:02 Thursday night, 98.7 ESPN. 800-919-3776. We get to your calls early, and we get to your calls often throughout the course of the next few hours. What a jam-packed show we have for you tonight. And I know I say that every night, but, like, this is really it. Because most other nights, I'm just lying to you. We don't have anything, and I'm just sitting here twiddling my thumbs. But tonight, we really, really have so much to get to this evening. And we will start with Blake Snell in just a moment. We will also have at 8 o'clock the legendary, the all-time great, JR himself, Jim Ross, is going to join us, and we'll talk about some wrestling. And also later on, we will talk some football with former Jets coach Eric Mangini. That at 8:30, and not to be left out, 9 o'clock tonight, the Carlin Chronicles. Tonight's episode, unfortunate timing. So we get to it all in just a little bit, but we begin with Blake Snell. Now, I understand a lot of people are upset at him, and I get the sentiment, and if you did not catch what the Tampa Bay Rays Cy Young Award winner had to say, he said it last night on Twitch when he was playing some video games and talking on Twitch and addressed whether or not he wants to play in Major League Baseball this season. We're playing you the entire clip, 2 minutes and 18 seconds worth, so that no context can be lost in what Snell has to say. Here it is.
No, I'm not splitting no revenue. I want all mine. Bro, y'all gotta understand too, cause y'all gonna be like, bro, Blake, play for the love of the game, man. What's wrong with you, bro? Money should not be a thing. Bro, I'm risking my life. What do you mean it should not be a thing? It 100% should be a thing. If I'm gonna play, I should be getting the money I signed to be getting paid. I should not be getting half of what I'm getting paid cause the season's cut in half on top of a 33% cut of the half that's already there. So I'm really getting like 25%. On top of that, it's getting taxed. So imagine how much I'm actually making to play. You know what I'm saying? Like, I ain't making shit. And on top of that, so all that money's gone. And now I play risking my life. And if I get the Rona, on top of that, if I get the Rona, guess what happens with that? Oh, yeah, that's in my body forever. That damage is not going to be like the damage that was done to my body, that's going to be there forever. So now I got to play with that on top of that. So y'all got to understand, man, for me to take a pay cut is not happening because the risk is through the roof. It's a shorter season, less pay. Like, bro, it's, yeah, man, I got to get my money. I'm not playing unless I get mine. Okay. And that's just the way it is for me. Like, I'm sorry if you guys think differently, but the risk is way the hell higher and the amount of money I'm making is way lower. Why would I think about doing that? Like, you know, I'm sorry. So in my head, I'm preparing for next season. And I'm actually preparing for right now, but as if I'm preparing for next season. Like, it's super weird, man. More Twitch streams for us, that's facts. But guys, I'm just saying, man, it just doesn't make sense for me to lose all of that money and then go play and then be on lockdown, not around my family, not around the people I love, and get paid way the hell less, and then the risk of injury runs every time I step on the field. So it's just not worth it. It's not. I love baseball to death. It's just not worth it.
Now, was this bad form? Yes. Was it poorly timed or not worded correctly or not reading the room, so to speak? Of course. We all know what the unbelievable numbers are in terms of unemployment right now in this country. And there's nobody that's going to be holding a benefit for Blake Snell anytime soon. If you were curious and you didn't know, he was scheduled to make $7 million for a full season this year. So if you wanted to do the math roughly about what he's talking about. The number would have already been cut in half because they play half the game. So that goes down to $3.5 million. Then he starts talking about if they have to take another shave, and he's talking about 33% off of that based on the fact that there wouldn't be fans if the players have to agree to that. So 33% is another $1.2 million off there. And then you get taxed. So Blake Snell ends up playing for somewhere around $1.2 to $1.3 million for a half a season after taxes. So obviously, the level of sympathy is going to be limited. And he could have phrased it a whole lot better. And he certainly should not have used Twitch to be the platform to let all of his feelings be known. Now, having said all of that, you really need to take away the wording of what he said and focus on the sentiment. Because the sentiment is simple. The risk is not worth the reward to him. The risk is not worth the reward to him. Whether it's the possibility of getting sick, we've heard more and more about permanent damage that gets caused for some people from coronavirus. You don't know who that's going to affect. I don't care what anybody, what any capitalist or anyone wants to say at this point. We all understand that there are divergent opinions out there about when and where we should be going. But in terms of the science itself, nobody can truly be able to tell you if it's 100% safe to go out right now, even if you are an athlete at his level at 27 years old. Blake Snell is making the decision to not get paid and not play this season. So he's giving up that money. So it may feel like it's not a lot of money to him, but he still feels strongly enough to give up his salary to not go out and play, worried about what the circumstances are going to be. Being away from your family, potentially getting sick, potentially getting hurt. You haven't been going through a clean training regimen. We know that pitchers are creatures of habit in every single way, and they know how to treat their bodies and how their bodies best react. Keep in mind, this is a guy that a couple of years ago was a Cy Young winner that went 21-5 with an ERA below 2. He doesn't want to get sick, and he doesn't want to risk it for anywhere near the normal amount of money that he would be getting for infinitely less. I guarantee you something, guys. He is not the only one out there with all these Major League Baseball players that's going to feel that way. Absolutely not. There are going to be guys like Blake Snell that are going to look at the entire situation, look that there's not a vaccine, that there's not a cure, that they're going to be in a clubhouse with at least 25 other guys, and now they're talking about traveling with a taxi squad of another 25, so you're going to be traveling with 50 guys? How many people are going to be on the road with you? That's a lot of people in one place for an incredibly efficiently spreading virus. Owners are still going to be making billions long after Blake Snell is done playing. He's taking a year off of his career to not play because he feels that strongly about it. You know what that's doing? I mean, you and I can sit here and talk about the tone-deaf aspect of all of this. There's no getting around that. But the guy must feel strongly about it if he's willing to give up an entire season of his career, which, let's be fair, could determine whether or not at some point in his life he's a Hall of Famer. Could determine how many career wins he has, how many Cy Youngs he wins. This guy's a dynamic young pitcher. He's willing to give all of that up. He is standing up for what he believes is right. He also understands there are consequences to that. And he also, I'm sure by now, understands that there's going to be an awful lot of blowback headed in his direction. But if this is what Blake Snell chooses to do, it's his life. It's his money. It's his body. He can do whatever the hell he wants. And as I said, there are going to be so many other players out there like that. The players and the owners can get together and make a deal here. Does it mean that every single player has to go and play? No, it doesn't. And I guarantee you, the far majority of the ones that decide they don't want to play this season will have a job next year. Blake Snell will have a job next year. The Rays won't cut him. They're not letting a Cy Young winner out the door. Really good players are not going to be let out the door. The one thing that's unfortunate is there may be a group of guys who really, in their heart of hearts, don't want to play, but have to go play because they're 34, 35 years old and they're holding on at the end of their career and they're just tweeners and they're trying to make it. And this may be the opportunity they get to try to make it. So if they have to go play in this, be damned, they're going to go play in this. Everybody makes decisions for themselves. As much as you want to knock Blake Snell, he's giving up a lot in what he believes in. So at least give him credit for that. You may hate it. We can all sit here with the idea of he gets paid to play a game and all this. Don't be mistaken about something. Yeah, he gets paid to play a game. Those guys work incredibly hard. And something else that we forget, they're human. They're human. I think we can establish by looking around society that we've had a lot of different viewpoints when it comes to COVID-19. And I think it's safe to say that's going to be the exact same situation in Major League Baseball. It is America, and we can all think and act the way we want. There are consequences to that, but it doesn't change his ability to say and do whatever he wants to do. 713-800-919-3776. Calls are up first. Load the lines. Let's go, friends. Of course, you can hit me up on Twitter at Chris Carlin, C-H-R-I-S-C-A-R-L-I-N. Jim Ross, the legendary wrestling announcer, later in the show. Eric Mangini, later in the show. And the Carlin Chronicles, detailing a trip to Game 6 and 7 of the 2001 World Series.
You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
DeAndre Baker, if you're just joining us, DeAndre Baker of the Giants and Quentin Dunbar of the Seahawks are both have a warrant out for their arrest. Four counts of aggravated assault with a weapon and four counts of armed robbery with a weapon. Here are some of the details. Apparently, Baker, along with Dunbar, were at a party in Miramar, Florida. It began around 8 o'clock. This was last night. Baker apparently was pointing a gun at one of the attendees in the party, and he was directing two other individuals to take money and valuables from the other attendees. Dunbar was apparently assisting Baker in taking the money and valuables. Another assailant wearing a red mask took $800 in cash, $18,000 Rolex watch from somebody. Then he's directing more people. Baker basically sounds like the guy who is directing the entire thing as it's going on. And he then ordered the guy wearing the red mask to shoot someone. And he added that the person wearing the red mask had robbed him of $7,000 in cash and a Hublot watch valued at $25,000. The person who's unidentified said that Baker pointed a gun at him. He was in fear of his life. Two other individuals were armed with firearms. Dunbar was not. And that the three guys left in a Mercedes, a Lamborghini, and a BMW that were all parked and pre-positioned to have expedited a quick departure from the area, so they thought it was premeditated there. So at this party, attendees were playing cards, video games, gambling, and Baker, this is a statement from another person, Baker and another person identified as Shy flipped over the table and brandished firearms. At this point, Baker and Shy pointed their firearms in the face of one guy. Then Dunbar was armed with a firearm, pointing it at another, added that Baker walked over to him, took his $4,000 in cash, his Peugeot watch valued at $17,500. He stated that he met Baker and Dunbar 2 days ago in Miami at a different party at which Baker and Dunbar had lost about $70,000. I mean, this is a crazy story. The vehicles used by this assailant, you know, pre-positioned to all that. They then interviewed somebody else and said that Baker pointed a gun at him, told him to give him all his money and his watch. Baker directed the person with the red mask to shoot him just as he walked into the area. Did not see Dunbar with a firearm. Did see and hear him directing others to take valuables. Another witness known as Coach, also identified as Dominic Johnson, said he attended the party in Miramar. They were playing cards and video games. A fight broke out and another unnamed individual. Johnson has known DeAndre Baker and Quentin Dunbar since they were children. Johnson advised that Baker and Dunbar attended the party as well. He saw Baker armed with a handgun, did not see Dunbar with a firearm. None of his valuables were taken, not threatened. Johnson was in contact with Baker. The officer attempted to talk with Baker via the cell phone, but Baker refused to speak with him and immediately terminated the call. They later tried to get Baker and Dunbar by their cell phones, but was unsuccessful. The offenders were known as professional football players. So how about that? Holy cow. DeAndre Baker and Quentin Dunbar, Baker of the Giants, Dunbar of the Seattle Seahawks, both corners, a few days earlier had been at another party where allegedly they lost $70,000 in cash and then went to this party last night in Miramar at about 11 p.m. And shortly after midnight, the Miramar police were called and said that the incident had happened 45 minutes earlier. And, yeah, this is crazy that Baker basically was directing the entire thing with a firearm and told another guy to shoot someone. It doesn't say anywhere that anyone was shot, but Baker and Dunbar are charged with four counts of aggravated assault with a firearm and four counts of, armed robbery with a firearm. Wow. That is the, affidavit for the arrest of DeAndre Baker, who has not been arrested as of yet, as far as we know. He's not turned himself in, refused to talk to police. Whoa. That is a bad, bad scene. I'm going to tweet out the arrest warrant right now for DeAndre Baker. This is crazy. Absolutely crazy. At Chris Carlin over on Twitter. All right, let's go back to the phones. John in Oceanside. John, what's going on, bud? How are you?
Hey, what's up, Chris? How we doing?
Good.
Hey, man, this sounds really bad.
Yes, it does.
Done.
Well, I mean, it's hard to say that. We don't know all of the facts. We don't know that, you know, whether we don't know what happened definitively. This is just according to witnesses who were there. And it does not sound good. That's for damn sure.
Sounds like he was the leader. sounds like he was the leader of the whole thing.
According to the multiple witnesses, it sounds like that was the case. You don't know. I mean, who knows? This, I mean, aggravated. I mean, that they had been at a party a few days earlier and lost $70,000. Wow, that's
probably
rough.
Probably gambling. Probably playing dice or something.
Well, they said playing cards, but
who cards. Same. I mean,
anyway, it's not a good scene. Thanks for the call, man.
All right.
That's an ugly, ugly scene for DeAndre Baker of the Giants. So if that turns out to all be true, I mean, if he hasn't turned himself in yet, it's got to happen soon. Wow. We'll take a timeout. Carlin, 98.7 ESPN, top of the hour, Jim Ross, the legendary Jim Ross, will join us. And we will keep you updated on this story as more details become available. 7:39, Carlin, 98.7 ESPN.
You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
He, of course, of ESPN New York, covering the Giants for us, joins us right now. Thought it was going to be a quiet night, but apparently not, Jordan, as DeAndre Baker.
Never is.
Yeah, he's got the arrest warrant out for him. The last that we heard is that he has not turned himself in as of yet or not actually been arrested yet. So what are you hearing, first of all, and the details as much as you can go down them, certainly in a better way than I did?
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing at this point to say that he has turned himself in. You read the affidavit, you realize the police did reach out to him at one point through someone else's phone that was at the party, and Baker quickly terminated the call. So he has to be aware at this point that there is a question, that they have questions with him, the police in Miramar, Florida. So, yeah, what it sounds like, at least from the affidavit, and I just finished reading through it right now, is that there's a claim that Baker and Quentin Dunbar lost $70,000 previously at a party earlier in the week. And they're at this party, and Baker and a person named he referred to as Shy flipped over the card table and basically held up everybody that was there. And the really perhaps the most disturbing part of it all is that there was a guy with a red mask there with Baker and Quentin Dunbar. And Baker ordered the guy in the red mask to shoot somebody who had just walked into the room at one point. Now, nobody was shot. There were no shots fired. But the fact that there's people in the room and they know who DeAndre Baker is, if in fact this is true, and he does order this assailant with him to shoot another person just seems, you know, mind-boggling. I mean, I don't even know how to put it, right? I mean, what would make somebody want to do that and think that that's a smart, sound decision? And this whole thing is, you think you're looking at the report, and remember, it's just a report. It's certain people's side of the story. We don't know. Usually there's two sides of the story, and the truth is somewhere in the middle, right? But when you read this side of the story, you're just sitting there scratching your head wondering, wow, what are they doing? You know, basically pulling an armed robbery, and that's what they're charged with, armed robbery and aggravated assault, with people in front of people who all know who they are in regards to DeAndre Baker and Quentin Dunbar. So really just a head-scratching incident. But when you think about it, I mean, some people are tweeting at me. I just looked, and I saw some tweets back at me now. I had a tweet when DeAndre Baker was actually drafted, okay? And it says, and I'm going to read from you, Giants select DeAndre Baker with pick number 30. Some considered him the top corner in the draft, but he likely lasted this long because some teams had concerns about his character. And I know that's fact. I spoke to several teams before the draft, and they had told me, yeah, he was red flagged for them. And God, for reasons that they didn't really get into full detail. But there was concerns about his character, his work ethic, his character, just the way he carried himself. There was some rumors pre-draft that he wasn't necessarily even showing up to his own pre-draft workouts. So there were definitely concerns around the league about DeAndre Baker. And now, fast forward, what, 14 months later, this is where we're sitting.
Jordan Renan with us, of course, covers the Giants for ESPN New York. So with that in mind now, we're not clear on anything that had happened off the field. There don't seem to be any records of any other arrests, but it seemed like the coaches at Georgia were not thrilled with him hanging around the team a lot when it was clear that he wasn't going to play in their bowl game. And that's where some of the other concerns were, calling him a bad influence around it. This is just bizarre, though, for this to kind of pop up out of nowhere. From what you had heard on those concerns, had it ever dealt with any of this kind of stuff? Not, you know, obviously this would have popped, but arrest, the field issues, that kind of stuff, or was it more attitude and such on the field?
It was more attitude and stuff. I had never heard anything criminal. I mean, and this is clearly criminal. I mean, he's being charged with, you know, there's an arrest warrant for armed robbery and aggravated assault. These aren't just, you know, public lewdness or something, right? These are serious, serious charges. But there were some other things that came up across the end of the year. Now, I'm not talking criminal, but there were things throughout this year. I mean, you heard it constantly, where there were concerns with DeAndre Baker in regards to his attitude and the way he carried himself all throughout this year.
Well, I was just reading one of your stories a few minutes ago, Jordan, and you said a couple of his teammates classified him as, quote, a handful, and that was sometime in mid-November.
I would say in that story I almost even went soft. I mean, I had been hearing things for weeks and weeks and weeks, you know, and you keep hearing more and more stuff that it reached the point where I felt like I had to write about it, right? You can't – you sit here and you, look, I hear a lot of things, but then I have to go vet them and find out to make sure – that they're 100% true. And so I was hearing more and more things about people just being frustrated with DeAndre Baker, just the way he was working, just the way he was carrying stuff. I mean, I heard a story at one point about him falling asleep in meetings and the veterans in the room just having it happening so regularly that the veterans in the room just being so fed up with it that they basically made him stand up during a meeting. Right. So there was just this. These are just the kind of things that kept building within the Giants. Now, again, this is a totally different level. Right. He basically didn't make an effort on a Demaryius Thomas catch and run at some point in November and things on the field and getting called out in front of the entire team. And that's one thing. And that, like you said, that's attitude. But now that doesn't necessarily mean we're going to get to this point, where there's an arrest warrant for serious, serious crimes and threatening to, he ordered someone to shoot another individual. He ordered somebody standing there armed with a mask to shoot another individual if the allegation is true. Now, again, it's just an allegation. You have to remember that. We don't know for sure that these are facts at this point, right? But this is what the police ascertained from the scene and the people on the scene. And obviously DeAndre Baker was not one of the people, and Quentin Darnbar was not one of the people who gave their accounts of the incidents that unfolded. But it's just, you just scratch your head and you wonder, you know, what was going on here? What was he possibly thinking if this is anywhere near true? And then from the Giants' perspective, what were they thinking last year? Because I'll tell you this story, Chris. This is really, like, this really boggles my mind. Last year before the draft, I had heard these things about DeAndre Baker and that he was possibly red flagged and that there were concerns about him. So I had asked some teams around the league, not necessarily with the Giants. And I had some people around the league tell me, yes, their team had sort of red flagged him and they probably wouldn't draft him. And so at some point I was talking to somebody on the Giants coaching staff at the time. And I said, yeah, you know, we're talking about players in the draft. And I said, I heard this guy's red flag, and I remember distinctly that individual telling me, oh, yeah, I haven't heard anything about that, anything like that at all from our scouting department, nothing at all, no concerns.
Wow.
And so you're like, wow. Like, what? There's obviously other teams had those concerns, so they did research that found there's concerns with DeAndre Baker. I was hearing things about him not showing up to his own pre-draft workout. So I'm starting to ask around about that. And then you talk to people, somebody in the Giants organization, they're like, no, I hadn't heard anything about that.
Obviously, Jordan, we're talking to Jordan Renan, of course, covers the Giants for ESPN New York. Legal outcome aside at this point, how does this get handled now as far as the league is concerned? How do they look at it and review it under the personal conduct policy? Because it's a little bit different than it used to be.
Yeah, I mean, this isn't one of those cases where I think there's a lot of gray area, yeah. Right? If DeAndre Baker did, in fact, hold up other individuals with a firearm in any way, shape, or form, we're not going to see DeAndre Baker on an NFL field for a long time. You'll probably see him in jail, to be honest with you, right? I mean, let's be honest. So in this case, it's sort of, and the NFL, like, they would prefer to do this in general, is let the legal process take care of everything, right? And if they can lean on the legal process, then they don't have to make that decision. So I don't think that this one is going to ultimately end up being a gray area one where, you know, if there's a whole room full of people and this happens, either this is going to be something that happened and he's going to be going to jail, or it's something that was completely fabricated and was total BS. So in that case, the league will know either, hey, this is easy, you're out, you're suspended for X number of, I don't know, weeks, years, whatever it is, because he's going to be going to jail if this is in fact true. And so the Giants effectively then won't really have to make much of a decision either. The decision will be clearly made for them, and it might already be made for them right now. If this is true and they find it to be true, I'm sure they're going to act pretty quickly on this. This is an easy one, isn't it, Chris?
It feels that way, and I hate to put it that way because, again, there are two sides to every story, and it's allegedly, but there are multiple witnesses in this affidavit, one of whom, I mean, you alluded to the fact that these people knew these guys, one of whom, who apparently knew them both since he was a kid, or since they were kids, and they didn't take any of his money. It almost felt like he was a friend of theirs.
Exactly. And that guy would have no reason to fabricate this kind of story, you would think. Right?
If anything, you would think that guy might be covering for him, and he's not.
Right. Exactly. Well, I mean, if it's a room full of, who knows, this was a part, first of all, there's a party going on in Florida, which, you know, this time is also head scratching. But there's a party going on, you assume there's a good amount of people there. This isn't just one or two people, one or two witnesses. There's a whole room that you would assume, based on what I read, that there's a room full of people. So this isn't something that one individual is going to be able to cover up for these guys for, if this case unfolded as the affidavit suggests.
This is just mind-boggling. I mean, Jordan, I honestly, I don't know what else to say about it at this point because we obviously don't have any more details, but I don't understand how you put yourself in this situation and you're ordering somebody else allegedly to shoot someone in the middle of this armed robbery. Now, this was just at one party, right? This was not at two different parties.
This was at one party. There is a claim in the affidavit that there was a party earlier this week that they were at, and
right,
that DeAndre Baker and Quentin Dunbar had lost $70,000 at this party. Which then, if that is again true, that would suggest that this was a money issue of what was going on there.
And Adam Schefter tweeted out a little bit ago, and we played the sound from it, Dunbar this morning addressing Seahawks reporters, talking about it. It's nice to be wanted, and they'll just have to learn from how I handle myself professionally.
Yeah, I mean, what do you even say to that, right? I mean, that's just straight up crazy if this event actually occurred last night. Because it says that there was a party. It was about 11 o'clock. By the time the police were called, it was just after midnight. So you're talking about this guy going 12 hours later and making these comments. If even, right?
Wow.
I mean, that's just straight craziness if that's the case, and that is in fact what he did. And it's really disturbing if you think about it. I mean, very disturbing.
Oh, there's no question about it. And Jordan Renan will have this covered for you from pillar to post. Follow him on Twitter at Jordan Renan, two A's on the front end. And, of course, we'll keep us updated if anything else should pop tonight. But as far as we know, as of right now, I even tried the police department earlier. There has been no arrest as of yet, but at least one of either Quentin Dunbar or DeAndre Baker had their representatives in touch with the police and were aware of what was going on. But nothing as of yet as far as themselves turning themselves in. And as you pointed out, one of those witnesses last night handed DeAndre Baker the phone, or handed the police officer the phone calling DeAndre Baker, and he quickly hung up. So that's not a good sign either.
No, never a good sign. I mean, look, none of this is a good sign. The Giants basically said they were aware of it. You know that they're obviously not happy with this. And let's be honest, the Giants traded up for him at the end of the first round last year, after they had just traded Odell Beckham Jr. So you can't ignore the fact that they sat there and they preached culture, 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 and then they drafted a guy who, it was pretty well known there were some character concerns, and now 1 year later, this is where they are. This doesn't reflect well on the organization as a whole, especially, and particularly Dave Gettleman and his regime. I mean,
were not aware of any sort of issues at all, or were not taking him into consideration at all.
Yeah, they traded up for him. So I truly believe that they didn't think there was a serious concern. Otherwise, you don't trade up into the first round. Usually, at the end of the first round, you trade up for a quarterback, right? So you get that fifth-year option. You don't really jump back in. I mean, the Giants were picking pretty high in the second round. You don't jump back in unless it's a quarterback or a guy you really, really want. And so they was pretty clear. They really wanted DeAndre Baker, and they thought he was the best cornerback in the draft. 100%. I mean, I know I spoke to people. They told me that flat out.
It's insane. It's a crazy story, and we'll obviously keep you updated with every new development. Jordan, thanks for popping on for a few minutes, man.
You got it. Have a great night, Chris. Keep in touch.
Jordan Renan covers the Giants for ESPN New York. If you're just joining us, an arrest warrant issued for DeAndre Baker of the Giants, Quentin Dunbar of the Seahawks for an incident down in Florida at a party. The arrest warrant alleges that earlier in the week, according to some witnesses, Baker and Dunbar had lost roughly $70,000 gambling at another party and then brandished weapons at a party last night in which they robbed some people who were in attendance along with one or two other perpetrators or assailants, as they're called, one of which was wearing a red mask. And Baker allegedly told the man in the red mask to shoot one of the people that was there. There were no shots fired. It did not happen. But Baker was allegedly directing the entire armed robbery. So they are charged with 4 counts of armed robbery, 4 counts of aggravated assault with a firearm. The arrest warrant is out there. Neither, as far as we can tell as of yet, has turned themselves in or been arrested. We will keep you updated on that. We will take your calls at 800-919-3776. It's taken a weird turn tonight. I know we were supposed to have JR earlier, Jim Ross, the legendary wrestling announcer. He will join us on Monday night. He understood that the story was breaking, so we wanted to get to this.
You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.